We're back. It's 808s and Ankle Breaks. I'm Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor of the Amherst Wire, Mugatoon's tastemaker, as well as a contributor to Hold My Drink Sports. And with me is our other host,
Trevor Wilson, writer for the Amherst Wire and another tastemaker for Mugatoon's. We out here. We're back on campus. Ready for season two, guys.
Yeah, sorry for the delay. You know, last week, syllabus week, we were getting moved in, getting settled.
Yeah, we're getting into our groove here, you know, so. But this will be a good year. We got a lot of cool stuff planned for you guys, and this is just the beginning. Yeah. So,
usually we start our episodes with a slap or skip where, you know, we talk about the hottest singles of the week. But on Friday, September 7th, Mac Miller, rapper, he released his album in August. He actually passed away. At first, it was diagnosed as
drug overdose.
But now that the autopsy came back, it's unclear of actually what was the cause of death. But
they're waiting for the toxicology report to come out.
Yeah,
that'll really tell us if it was an overdose or not. But yeah, man, it's sad. It's really sad that this happened. You know. So I don't. What were you gonna say about this, Kerm?
I don't have a whole lot to say.
I know you appreciate him. So like.
Yeah, like I loved. I will say this. I wasn't someone that, you know, necessarily grew up on Mac Miller. Like there was songs that I obviously heard. Like I love Donald Trump. That song was awesome. I absolutely love that song until, you know, Donald Trump had to ruin it. This most recent album, Swimming, loved it. Small World's probably
great single.
Probably one of my favorite songs this year.
Yeah.
So it's sad when someone dies young, and it's even worse when it's a talented artist that you know has touched many lives. But you know, I never had that personal connection. So for anybody that has had that personal connection, you know, I'm feeling for you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say I was like a Mac fan from the very beginning, but he definitely piqued my interest like early in high school. And I was like a big fan of his ever since. I loved him as a person. He was very positive.
Yeah.
You know, he went through a lot of shit with drug abuse mostly. And you could even say depression too. It seems like he had that breakup with Ariana Grande that, you know, that kind of threw him off, I think, a little bit. But, you know, it seemed like he was getting back on track. At least that's the sense that everybody was getting.
Yeah,
but,
like one of his last tweets about, you know, being excited to go on
tour. Yeah, go on tour.
Me and Trevor, we were talking about going to that concert.
Right.
For, you know, Mac Miller and, well, J.I.D.'s obviously my favorite. So that's what I was going for. But I was excited to see both artists. And it's unfortunate that, you know, that happened.
Right. And that day, like, I was talking with our boy John and one other person about Swimming, about how great of an album it was and, you know, how it just was such a standout, I think, from other projects this year. But, you know, Mac Miller, for a lot of people, especially, like, for our generation, like, through high school, was, like, a beacon of, like, positivity, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of people looked up to him. And a lot of the hip-hop world loved Mac Miller,
Miller,
like, a personality standpoint.
Mac Miller is one of the few white rappers today where it wasn't talked about that he was white. It didn't matter. Like, you know, today, G-Eazy, it's always talked about.
He never had any controversy around him whatsoever. I mean,
you could tell he respected the culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Without, like, you know, trying to take from it. Absolutely. And what I loved about Mac's music is that he kept, like, evolving. He kept changing his style. I think you really saw that in Swimming. It was very orchestral. But, you know, he still gave you some of those classic, like, Mac Miller song, like the second song after the intro. I can't remember what it's called, but on Swimming, it's very bouncy, very uplifting. Then you have songs like Self Care and 2009, which is just this really emotional, powerful song.
That song feels stronger now than it's past, which is scary.
And Divine Feminine, the project before that was a great project too. Interesting concept, you know. A little bit of a different style for him. I think the beats were a little bit more like crossover, a little bit more R&B type, but I'm especially saddened by Mac's death because I felt like he had a lot of unfinished business. Like I felt like his career wasn't like complete, like it hadn't come full circle yet.
Right.
And like, he's 26. You can say that for anybody who died early, but I mean, he was on, I think Swimming was like his fifth or sixth album.
It was his fifth.
Yeah, fifth album. So, but for a lot of rappers, like, that's it. Like, they drop their fifth album, and, like, after that, you know, they don't do that anymore. But I think for him, like, it hadn't come quite full circle yet. And I know me, personally, and a lot of other people were hoping to see him finish out his career. And, it's really sad. And, you know, if you know anybody or if you personally are going through problems with drug abuse, like, get help for real.
Drug abuse, mental health issues, yeah. Really. Anytime, you know, you're not feeling that you're yourself.
Yeah.
Definitely
go reach out to your friends.
It's not an easy thing to reach out. So it's also on the people that are around them. You know,
right.
If you feel something's off about your friend, you know, even if it's something minor of them, you know, just not seeming as happy as they used to be.
Absolutely.
You know, check in on them.
Yeah. It never hurts to ask the question.
Right. Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's sad. I'm going to miss him. Definitely. He was a really positive influence on my life and, for high school, at least, like, he was a big part of my high school music rotation.
Yeah.
So, it sucks. I'm going to miss you, Mac, but,
yeah,
you know,
no,
he's probably in a better place now. So.
Right, right, right.
But, so on that note,
we're going to move on to our Slap or Skip. As I said before, it's a segment where we look at the hottest singles of the week,
right.
And we rate them based on Slap or Skip. Slap, you know, if we're going to keep it in the rotation, it bumps, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Skip. We skip the song.
Yeah, we got some other sounds, like we got meh if it's okay. Yeah. We got a super slap, a super skip if like it's really good or we really hate it. But that's that. Let's dive right in.
All
right.
Our first single of the week is Logic, Everybody Dies.
So Logic's back and sounded a little bit more like old Logic than he has been recently. I think this is going to be off of his next mixtape, Young Sinatra 4. So Everybody Dies.
Slap or skip.
I'm going to give it a meh.
Okay.
I think it's a step in the right direction. I like Logic on boom bap beats more than I do on trap beats or any of the other fruity he's been doing lately.
Yeah, he's been going very poppy. So.
Yeah. So I like to see him going back in this direction. And, you know, he's going back. Like, he's one of those guys where, you know, we talk about it sometimes, like, oh, you can rap fast, but, like, what are you actually saying?
Right.
So I feel like this was kind of, like, the biggest drawback for me in this song. It was, like, he was rapping fast. I didn't really think he was saying a whole lot, though. Like, it's all shit that we've heard from him before, so.
I was listening to this the first half. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give this a slap. No one's going to see it coming. You know, I always talk shit about Logic on this podcast. And I was really feeling the first half. You know, he was feeling himself. He was confident. He sounded like, you know, aggressive with the rapping. And it wasn't just about this positivity that he promotes, which there's nothing wrong with positivity. But, like, in hip-hop, it's about being aggressive.
Yeah.
And he did that in the first half. He had lines about, like, the Dark Knight and Bane, and I was like, yeah, it's nerdy, but like that shows him and it's
right.
clever.
Yeah.
Then we got to, once he started rapping fast and started, he brought back the positivity, it was like, all right, bro, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm good. Not because he's being positive, but because he's saying stuff that should just be common knowledge, you know?
Yeah,
don't
it's
kill
like, it's
people.
Like, it's like fake deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
I
kill people.
You.
You're a genius, Logic. That's crazy. You just
solved
all violence right there. So that was my issue with that, so I'm gonna give it a meh as well.
Meh.
Next we got Kanye West times Lil Pump. I love it. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I think I'm gonna give this one a slap. I don't know,
oh,
man. I'm riding with this. Yeah, the beat's super bouncy, wicked clubby. Like this is definitely coming on at the club. Kanye's verse, it's hilarious. But I like it a lot. Like, I like how he just goes right in. Like, after he's, you know, I like a quick, like a quick suck. I like my suck. Like, he just goes in. Lil Pump, his part's okay. But it's a bop. I'm giving it a slap.
I'm also giving it a slap. I wanted to hate this song so much.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this song makes me just want to hate it. Like, I feel like, first of all, you guys already know how I felt about Kanye in this year. If you listen to this podcast. If you didn't. I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, Donald Trump supporting Kanye or Kanye supporting Donald
right.
Trump. That I'm not a fan of that Kanye. On top of that, you know, I don't hate Lil Pump or anything, but the idea of, you know, Kanye and Lil Pump has never popped into my head as something I wanted to hear. Then I heard it.
Yeah.
And you hear that beat. The beat sounds like something off of either Yeezus or it reminds me. Like
it's like a cleaner Yeezus.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeezus, Life of Pablo, like that song with Post Malone.
Right.
Fade?
Yeah.
It's got that similar like bounce and groove to it. And then you got Lil Pump. He comes in with the auto-tune. I'd never heard Lil Pump with auto-tune. And it sounds better than I thought it would sound, which is ridiculous. But like the hook is just catchy.
Right.
It's catchy. Everything
it
about the song
so
is catchy.
Catchy.
So I got to give it a slap for that reason. Next, we got T.I. featuring Meek Mill, Jefe.
Jefe.
Jefe. Yeah, I'm not Hispanic.
I got this song. Wow, bro, I'm giving this a super slap. This song's crazy. I love the instrumental, that trumpet sample, yeah, whatever it is.
It's a Latin like sample.
Yeah, and Meek goes in. He goes in. I love Meek's part. And T.I., bro, I honestly, T.I., he sounded a little bit like Designer at first, so I was a little confused. But both verses are fire. I love this song. This song, definitely check this out. It's a banger.
I was tempted to give this one a super slap, but I'm going to just give it a slap. The beat is just insane. First thing you notice, and then both of them, their flows are crazy, so I got to give it a slap for that reason. Next, we got 6ix9ine, Bebe.
Wow. I got to skip this one. I'm sorry. I'm not about the Spanish pop music. It's not really my wave. So that's really all I have to say. It's Spanish pop music. That's all I gotta say.
I'm gonna give it a meh.
I honestly thought this song was gonna be like 6ix9ine being a troll, and just having like instead of him saying Fifi, he's saying BB Bebe. Like,
I'll give him credit though. Like, I don't know enough about my live music to really judge this. Right. That's why I'm just giving it a meh. But it sounds like a lot of other Latin music I've heard, like when I go to the barber shop, or sometimes where, you know, at a party, and then, you know, the Latina mommies, they want to put a song on the ox. Like, it sounds like one of those songs. And
yeah, I think that was the issue for me. It was just, it sounds like super generic.
That's
so,
fair. But, that's fair. Yeah. All right. Next, we got Majid Jordan, Spirit.
I'm giving this one a slap. Super wavy, really vibey track. There's no swears on this, so, you know, you can play this for the kiddos. But, you know, I'm not a huge, I don't know a lot about Majid Jordan, but what I do know is that this is a good song. The instrumentals, like I said, very spacey, very airy, very light. You know, the lyrics, it's like an R&B song. It's just like this really spacey R&B song. So I dig it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, originally, I was going to give this one a meh because the first time I heard it, I thought it was boring. Then I listened again, and, you know, the instrumental really got me. Like, I love that it's got these, you know, trap hi-hats, but it still, you know, feels so R&B.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like his singing isn't necessarily spectacular. Not that it's bad. I just think it's bland. It's bland singing, but over the instrumental, it works.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a slap. Next, we got Kevin Gates featuring Don Toliver, Diva Remix, which it's kind of weird how it says featuring Don Toliver.
Because it's his song.
Yeah, it was Don Toliver's song, then Kevin Gates added a verse.
But it's listed on Spotify as that, and I'm sure it's listed on Apple Music too. So I'll give this one a meh. It's okay. I love Don Toliver's feature on Can't Say, so I was looking forward to this. I'd actually never listened to Don Toliver before Can't Say, so I really need to read up on him. But I mean, his verse is okay. Kevin Gates, he's pretty good in it too. I don't know. It's all right for me.
Yeah, so I listened to the original version of this song, the original Diva, just because I heard Don Toliver's project, Donnie Walmack, and I really liked the project. I liked the song. So this remix, I'll give it a slap, but I'll be honest, I only listened to the Kevin Gates version once just because I was like, I don't really care about this remix. I heard the original one. But I'll still give it a slap just because the hook is very catchy and the verses aren't necessarily bad. Next, we got Earth Gang, their newest single, Up. They performed it live on the YouTube channel Colors. What'd you think, Trevor?
I'm giving this one a slap. This was, I think, of all the Earth Gang tracks I've heard so far, this one's so unique. Like, what's his name? What's the first guy in
Johnny Venus.
Johnny Venus. Bro, I don't know what he's doing, but he's going off in that first half. The singing he does, the vocals he has is crazy.
So much soul.
Right.
So much energy.
Yeah. So, exactly. You hit it right on the head. And it's a really good song. I love Earth Gang. You really put me onto them, so I'm excited to see what they keep coming out with.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a super slap. My bias is I love Earth Gang, so it was going to probably be a slap.
Right.
With or without it being great.
I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So.
It's a super slap because just as I said before, the energy they give in this performance, we're going to put a link in the description, obviously. Check out this video. They just have great energy. Voices are crazy. And Colors, like the YouTube channel, is just, their production is, it's dope. Like they're set up how it's like just one colorful like room and then it's just the artist and a mic.
Right.
No, nothing flashy.
No bullshit. Yeah.
You're just looking at the artist and.
Exactly.
When the artist is great like they are, it shows. Next, we got, this is a track from last week because we didn't get to talk about Eminem and all the beef and stuff. We included this. MGK, Rap Devil, his Eminem diss track in response to subliminals from Kamikaze, Eminem's album. Mm-hmm. What'd you think, Trevor?
This is the first MGK song I've heard since the eighth grade. And, bro, it really feels like all that time from eighth grade until now that he has just been saving. Like, he comes up with, like, a new lyric about Eminem every day. He writes it down. He's like, oh, I can use this in the future.
He had.
Bro, because he brought the strap, bro. Well, he brought out, like, all the bars about Eminem that he possibly could have. The thing
is, if you're going to beef with somebody, it kind of happened a little bit with Drake and Pusha, but then Pusha, you know, kind of waxed him. But
yeah.
Where if you're going to get somebody that's a fan of you, they have ammo on you because they've been watching you since they were like 12 versus you just heard about them 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So he had plenty of bars.
He referenced
songs like My Dad's Gone Crazy. He talks about how Eminem is just a wash-up dude that just raps, that just yells in his basement. Which, if you really think about it, like, how far of a stretch is that?
He's angry, but he's rich. Yeah, like, Eminem, all the time.
Eminem is just so famous at this point where he can't really leave his house other than to tour.
Yeah.
So I bet he probably spends a lot of time
just yelling in his studio.
Just rapping. MGK said something about reading the dictionary, which, like, I easily could see. Yeah,
that line was hilarious, sitting down reading the dictionary.
So
it's not, I feel like it's just like, I can't even tell if it's a diss track or just MGK just like poking fun at him. I really have no idea. It seems like he's just like toying with them most of the time.
It's what a diss track should be in today's like landscape, where it's right.
Yo, because people were not ready for the Pusha T diss track.
That took to a different level where it was just, you know, volatile. Like this, it's very disrespectful, but it has, you know, truth to it. And it's just like a lot of jabs, a lot of punchlines that are very quotable and shit. What's another line I was thinking of? He brought truth about how, you know, Eminem, the reason why Eminem is mad at MGK over MGK saying something about his daughter being hot.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to confirm or deny if Eminem's daughter is hot. But
besides the point,
that's besides the point. We'll just move on. Main course.
Yeah. So we got a couple beefs to talk about. Drake and Meek squashed their beef over, what was it, the weekend?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He squashed his beef with Meek, brought him on stage. They performed Dreams. Yeah. Hugged it out. They performed Dreams and Nightmares. That was dumb lit.
That was an A1 hug.
That was an A1 hug. That looked like that was like, I missed the shit out of you hug. Yeah. So would they, you know, this beef, it almost seemed like they didn't want to have this beef in the first place, given how they like reacted when they saw each other.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it kind of Meek caused this beef to happen.
Yeah.
And then Drake took it to the level, you know, no one expected it to go. And then Meek was really just a meme for what, like, 2 years,
pretty much until
he went into jail.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. I only wrote down one question for this segment. Do we think Drake and Meek Mill, the beef would have ended if Meek didn't go to jail?
Maybe not as quickly as it did.
Okay.
I think the situation Meek was in kind of changed that. And, you know, Drake, when Meek was in prison, he was on a song with Lil Wayne, and he said something. Yeah, the Family Feud remix. He said something about, I don't remember the
about
line
a Philly
exactly.
Judge. Yeah. That was the first.
Why should we beef it? Like, why are we beefing? We're all brothers. Something like
that.
Yeah,
like that was the first sign that clearly, like, you know, this beef could.
I was like,
end.
Oh.
But I feel like if Meek doesn't go to prison, I don't know if this beef gets scrapped before they're both 40.
Yeah.
Like, I think this really helped because, I mean, Meek, before he went to jail, he was a meme.
He literally was a joke. Yeah.
So I couldn't see, you know, there being enough, you know, like, tension eased for them to be able to, you know, talk it out. I think that really, like, Meek Mill going to jail saved this friendship, I guess.
Yeah.
which sounds ridiculous. But, you know, that's all we got to say about that beef. We got to get to the main event.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Cold War has officially, you know, it's no longer Cold War. It's official warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, the beef has gone public.
It has.
So it was September 7th at the, what is it, New York Fashion Week?
It was at the Harper's Bazaar Icons Party.
Yeah.
Friday night. So last Friday night.
Yeah.
And so I can try to find what was said, but basically what really got out was that Cardi B had thrown a shoe at Like she like ripped her dress and then threw a shoe at Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
That was the headline on Twitter, at least. That was the headline that was everywhere. And, you know, Nicki's spoken out about it now. And she said that she felt like humiliated. And what, like, obviously, you got a shoe thrown at you. I'd be humiliated if somebody threw a shoe at me. And I think it's tough for Nicki, especially what she's been doing the past couple weeks, to be wrapped up in a beef like this.
Right.
So, like, I don't know if she's doing the right thing. I mean, it probably isn't her fault that this beef started. Unless people were saying that she said some shit about the kid, right?
Well, yeah. So, I wanted to start this off with kind of doing, like, a quick timeline. Because, like, this has really been a Cold War that's been brewing since 2017.
Yeah, there were the subs on that old, what was it, Motorsport?
Motorsport.
Yeah, Motorsport.
Motorsport, where they're on the same song together. There was subs thrown. And then, you know, after that, there was all these questions about who was on the song first. Who was on the song first? There's no way, you know, Nicki hopped on a song that already had Cardi on it. And then it came out that, you know, Nicki was apparently on the song first, then Cardi B hopped on. So that explains why Nicki has some subs that clearly are aimed at Cardi B now that you look at it. Watch Your Man, Then You Should Watch Your Mouth. There's been allegations that, you know, Offset cheated on Cardi B, so it only makes sense. It's not that it only makes sense, like that could be aimed at several people, I guess, but it makes sense that would be aimed at Cardi. And Cardi on the song No Limit, she had a line about, you know, no more subs, I'm not Jared, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of a corny line, but I get it. Don't throw subliminals Cardi B's way. Then earlier this year, what else happened? Zane Lowe on Beats One Radio. Yeah. He actually sat down with Nicki. Nicki kind of talked about the beef, and it seemed that her issue was that Cardi never gave her the proper respect of, you know, her being in the industry for so long compared to her. She felt she never got that proper respect. But it seemed that things had, like, calmed down by the summer. They were spotted, like, hugging each other. Then this came out.
Yeah.
And Cardi B's explanation of why she threw the shoe and was coming so, you know, hard at Nicki was, Nicki apparently liked a tweet that was calling out Cardi B's, you know, mothering skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you're gonna throw a shoe at somebody, that's a reasonable
the article I have in front of me is saying too that, like, she might have said some negative things about Cardi B's kid.
But, yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's
warranted. She liked a tweet by, like, one of the Nicki Minaj fan accounts that said something about that. And I guess Nicki doesn't know how social media works and, like, that people can see what tweets you like.
Yeah, and people can see which albums are number one and which ones aren't. But
so after Cardi B released her statement, Nicki went on Queen Radio yesterday. I didn't get to tune in at the beginning to, you know, listen to all of it, but a couple of the pointers real quick. You know, Nicki claims that, you know, Cardi, the only reason she's famous is payola and sympathy. She also claims, Nicki's exact words were, "I never had to f*** a DJ to play my songs." So, you know,
what? Where is that coming from?
I don't know. We don't know.
Where is that coming from?
Jabs. Another claim was that, you know, she made claims that Cardi B was racist. Her evidence was Cardi B apparently called someone's dead baby a monkey. And Nicki showed the receipts.
Okay.
She showed the receipts. So that was probably the toughest pill to swallow. That's like the, you know, with Drake and the blackface where you're like, I don't know how to really react to that. There isn't a whole lot to say to make that seem okay. Another racist statement that Nicki Minaj, you know, hurled out there that she said Cardi B said is she called black women cockroaches. But I will say, I did my research. Cockroaches is a term that Cardi B and other New Yorkers just use. Apparently, it has nothing to do with race. It just so happened to be in the context that Nicki found it. She happened to be saying it directed towards black women, which I still don't know if Cardi B is black or not. I know she's Hispanic.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she's, like, biracial. I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't really give you an answer to that.
So, I don't think Cardi B's a racist, but, you know, that's not for me to really decide. All I can do is, you know, show what's already been shown.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really just a lot of name calling, a lot of roasting and like that, as well as Nikki still managed to play the victim at the same time.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, it's so humiliating.
Yeah, she was like, humiliating to, you know, put us black, us women of color, you know, out there like that, and gives the media something to feed off of, which I guess she has a point, you know, like we're talking about this right now, and there's outlets like TMZ that eat this shit up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I get what she's saying.
Well, I mean, like, people in general eat this shit up.
Yeah, facts. So I get what she's saying on that, but I don't know. So how do we think Cardi B can respond to this, or will respond
to this? Ooh. I mean, I don't even know. I don't think she will. I mean, does she have to?
I mean, you got called a racist.
You did get called a racist. So, yeah, she probably has to say something about that. She probably should
got
say
called
something
a racist.
About that.
Nikki claimed that, you know, the only reason you're famous is, one, because of Nikki.
See, that's interesting.
Two, because of, you know, having sex with people.
That's all food for thought. Apparently there's a rumored diss track that Nikki has, I think. A rumored diss track. So if anyone's going to respond first, right now it seems it's going to be Nikki. If there was a diss track, bro.
If this goes to bars, I really don't know if I can sit
there. I feel like I'm going to fall asleep.
Because it's like Nicki Minaj, obviously the better rapper between these two in terms of rapping, not who had a better album this year. Because I think Cardi B had a better album.
Oh, yeah.
But who is a better rapper?
Nicki Minaj
is a better rapper. But I don't want to hear punchlines from Nicki over and over again. I don't feel like hearing it.
Bro, punchlines in a diss track.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's a good thing we didn't have an episode last week, because I was going to get those jokes off about Eminem.
Yeah.
I was definitely
going
to get those off. But, like, Nicki Minaj, like, I don't feel like hearing some Sun lines. I don't feel like hearing that.
Yeah.
And I don't think Cardi B is the type that's going to make a diss track. She said it herself. Like, she wants to see you in person. So we'll see where else this goes, because I don't think Nicki Minaj is going to let it get physical. I'm interested to see how this pans out. Like, what else can really come of this?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna stay, have my attention on this too long, though. I don't know.
It's
significant. It's also a little ridiculous at the same time.
It's ridiculous, but it's still two megastars in hip hop right now.
Yeah, that's true. They had
two megastars beefing like this. Like, I don't think there's been a beef where, like, the people are at the same level since. Like, really, you could say Drake and Meek, but like, Drake was still a lot more elevated than Meek Mill was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Cardi B, her album went number one. Nicki Minaj is
they're kind of, it's kind of like a level playing field almost. It's like, I mean, for Nicki, it might just be like a respect thing, but like, I don't know. We'll see how it pans out. I don't really have much to say other than that. So
we're running low on time, but we still got, you know, one quick thing we should probably address. We wanted to talk about the YBN, the mixtape. Let's just go over this super quick. We got like less than five.
Yeah. So I think overall it was okay. Yeah,
that's really, and that's the episode.
Yeah, see you next week, guys. No, but I think overall it was okay. I think they showcased themselves pretty well. You know, there's a lot of just like bouncy, hard. Like, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's bouncy. Like, they do switch up a lot.
Their choice
in
instrumental.
Yeah.
I gotta give them credit. Yeah. Like, every beat is hard. I also think all three of their, you know, personas, they show
were reflected
the
well.
Like, I don't confuse Namir with Almighty J. I don't confuse any of them with Cordae. I don't confuse them. They all have their own separate sounds. I will say Almighty J sounds like Rich the Kid.
Yeah, which you brought to my attention today.
If you listen to those flows, like, it sounds a lot
it's
like
very similar flows. Ad libs are very similar too.
A lot of plug walk flows.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know what you mean. Yeah, so like you said, the instrumentals were really good. A couple good features too. They had Wiz on it. Chris Brown. Gucci was on a track too.
Lil Skies had a solid feature.
Yeah,
too.
Lil Skies had a nice feature. So I'd say it was a solid mixtape. You won't find anything here like
of substance.
Yeah. But it's fun to listen to.
I will say a lot of the tracks, they kind of bleed into each other.
Yeah.
And the fact that when you're not talking about much for a whole tape, it's hard to have songs stand out. There are a few though.
Yeah.
What are your favorite tracks, Trevor?
I really like. I think it's called Target, the one by YB and Cordae. That's a good discusses police. Racial profiling. Good song from Cordae. I really love what he's putting out lately.
Do you notice he changed that song,
Scottie Pippen to Alaska? Yeah,
my thought was like,
curious about that.
I was thinking like with Mac Miller with the Donald Trump situation where Donald Trump went and sued Mac Miller for using his name.
Yeah.
I thought it could have been something like that. And YBN was just like, we're not going to deal with that. We'll just change the name.
Yeah, it's weird because if you go to YBN Cordae's Spotify page, it's still Scottie Pippen.
That's strange.
But here it's Alaska, which that was strange. I like Two Tone Drip. I actually like Man Down, the song with Chris Brown, a lot too.
I like Feel Like.
Feel Like?
Yeah. I feel like Kobe.
That's, yeah, that one was good
that
too.
That one was pretty good. That one is Namir.
Namir, yeah. And then you have the Bounce Out with that remix. Bounce Out with that is also on here too. Yeah. And then Rubbing
Machine
Off the Pain.
Machine Gun Kelly went in on that remix.
He did.
He went in.
No cap, he did. But yeah, and then Rubbing Off the Paint, which I think to this day is still my favorite Namir song, just because that beat's wild.
Yeah. So I will say, last question, I think I know your answer, but I'll still ask anyways. Who is your favorite YBN member?
Easily Cordae.
Do you think he shows up as the best on this project?
No, because he's only on like three songs.
I noticed that. I was like, why is he in so few
and
tracks?
I think, for me, it just seems like he doesn't, I don't know if it's like him personally. It seems like he doesn't really want to be affiliated as much with the other YBN guys. Just because I think he has such a different style from the both of them, you know?
Yeah, but I also think they have completely different styles from each other. Like, one thing I notice is these guys, I think they're more standalone artists than they are a group.
Yeah. Now, I would agree with that. And, well, because you look at all the singles Cordae puts out versus the singles Namir puts out. Like, they're just so wildly different from each other. And so I don't know. I don't know if Cordae like wants his name attached to a tape like this. Not that it's a bad mixtape or anything, but like he seems to have his own good thing going right now. Like a lot of people support him. He has a lot of potential. He's very talented, great lyricist. He has some crazy flows, especially on Scottie Pippen or Alaska, depending on which one you're listening to. So for me, he's definitely my favorite.
I might say I like Namir more. I like Cordae. I think Cordae gets a little too much credit as a lyricist. I think he has bars.
He can be very corny and punchline-y.
Yeah, like
so,
punchline bars, which there's nothing wrong with punchlines. I wrote an article last week that you should check out about, you know, my thoughts on, you know, punchlines and hip-hop and Eminem. But I don't think, you know, the hip-hop is rid of punchlines, but sometimes they come off where you're just like you were trying to just seem clever, and it's you could have easily said that in a simpler way.
I get that. But, yeah, he can be pretty wordy sometimes, but for me at least, he seems to be like the most talented of the group.
I think Namir just has the most unique voice.
Yeah,
I think he's got the most distinguishable.
He does
voice,
have a very distinguishable
voice of the three.
Yeah,
so
that is true.
I think we're gonna call that an episode.
Yeah, I mean we got a quick little release radar.
Yeah, just
for you here.
Hit
we
him
got
with it.
Yeah, so we got maybe a Young Thug album coming out
today.
Tomorrow, I think, right? Because didn't he announce it yesterday?
He announced it 2 days ago.
2 days ago, so it could be today. He said album in 2 days on the run. He announced some of the features too. Elton John's on there, Black's on there. There was one more I saw on there, I can't remember.
Damn.
But so Young Thug's trying to get a lick before he might go to prison because he got 8 felonies. He got hit with 8 felonies last week, if you didn't hear about that. Then we got Black is coming out with his album, East Atlanta Love Letter. I'm very excited for that. And then No Name, which is also really exciting. Haven't heard much from her since Telephone. Room 25 is her new project. That drops on Friday. So be on the lookout for those albums. And if you got any albums, songs you want us to announce on the release radar, let us know, guys.
Yeah, DM us. Yeah. Follow us. Follow us. 808s_abreaks, Twitter, Instagram.
You know the deal. You know the deal.
Just do it. Yeah. We're just trying to gain some clout. That's all it is. And if you're really feeling generous, follow me, jkarma98, on both Instagram and Twitter. And Trevor.
On Twitter, I'm Trevor Wilson OG. Instagram, Trevor_Wilson08. So, all right. You know.
And follow the god.
Yeah, oh.
The god.
We're ignoring
the
person who has the most clout in this room right
visual,
now.
Our visual editor, our PR guy, you know, he's still working on getting us guests, but we'll work on that. shout out our guy at The Real Gashon. Follow him. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check out AmherstWire.com, HoldMyDrinkSports.com,
Moogatoons.
Moogatoons.com. You know what it is. Peace.